ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hi friends. This week we are back with another replay from our Women in Beer series, or at least, you know, celebrating the women that we've spoken to, featured for the month of March. And this week we are returning all the way back to season one in 2020, talking to Anya from Connemara Brewing. We hope you enjoy it. Cheers.
And we're back with the Beer Ladies podcast. I'm your host today, Christina, and I am here with Tandy and Katie, and we are interviewing Anya.
Hi.
Yay. Connemara Brewing.
Hi.
And so before I get too far ahead of myself, just a friendly reminder to like us, subscribe, comment, tell us what you want to hear from us. This all is really important for us, and we love you guys so much. So please do all of the things. And so I'm going to kick off today's episode with asking Tandy, what are you drinking?
Hello, hello, friends. Today, I shamefully didn't get my hands on Connemara beers on time because life got in the way. So I picked up...
We'll fix that.
We'll have to just fix it. Yeah. I've got to taste them at some stage. So anyway, I'm very embarrassed. But I did pop down to my local Lidl, and I was delighted to see some Four Provinces available. And I always love it when Lidl's got sort of special beers going. So I picked up their Hurle Copper Ale today, and it is my... It's my first taste of this one, actually, and so far so good. It's a nice, deep, sort of rich copper color, and when I poured it, the head was really frothy and fluffy, so that was fun. And it seems to be hitting all the marks right now, but I'm going to keep sipping. Katie, what you got?
Well, I didn't let life get in the way, and I managed to get my hands on some Connemara.
Yay.
And I do love the artwork on the can. If you can, if you're watching on YouTube, it's just so simple, and it's so nice. It's so lovely.
Ah, Anya's got some excellent lighting there and showing us can work. It's beautiful.
Awesome. Yeah, and it's a lager, and it's really, really nice. Myself and my husband had a good few of these last night on the sofa. They're so nice. It goes down so easy. They're so tasty, and I really like it. And I think this is going to be a staple in our family. Oh, the poster just fell off the wall behind me as well.
It always happens that way.
Anya, what are you drinking today? I know.
I have a cup of tea, but exactly. Also you can sip away at the lager. So yeah. I'm the same as Katie.
Wonderful.
I'm up in the office, though I didn't bring a glass with me. I'm just taking it out of the can.
And Dr. Christina Wade, tell us about yours.
Well, I epically failed and did not get Connemara. But that said, I have drank both the lager and ale, and I am obsessed with them. They are so, 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 so good. I really want to get a whole bunch of the lager and then go out in the sunshine and enjoy it, a couple of them, because it's just so like nice and sessionable and just gorgeous. I really, really enjoy the lager. But today I too am drinking out of the can, as I often am, because I'm just lazy. And this is the Western Herd Brewing Company Coast Road IPA, Mosaic Dry Hopped, and I really like this too. Mm. Speaking of like springy beer, this one to me is really springy. Like, it's very fresh and crisp, and I very much enjoy this one.
think that's Mosaic for you. What a good hop.
Yes. Oh. Yeah. When the sun comes out, it's a great hop.
Absolutely.
And I think, we're proving that West is best, right? Because one of the four provinces guys is from Connemara.
Yes. Yeah. It's all happening in the West. Yeah. And I am a Galway native back home making beer. So
do you there tell us about how you even got into beer? Because now you're saying you moved back West. Yeah. So tell us your story a little bit.
I always say I've been very lucky in my life and my brewing career. So I went to DCU a long time ago and I did biotechnology. So in the biotechnology degree, there's a section on fermentation sciences and quite a focus on brewing. So I was lucky enough that every year I was put into something brewing. So that kind of tunneled me into it a little bit. Porterhouse North had just opened in Phibsborough as well. So I was down there and going, oh my God, this is amazing. So we didn't go anywhere else. We were down there tasting new beers all the time. Then Harp took me on my work experience. Okay. And I was like, spent a year there in the lab doing like yeast trials and cleaning trials and, you know, learning the nitty gritties of a big brewery. And I loved it.
That's amazing.
Then, it was luck all the way, like, to start me off. And then I was like, okay, I think I have a taste for this. I briefly went into to making chemo and beta blockers and kind of said, okay, not for me. So I went to Scotland to Harriet Watt to do my master's in brewing and distilling. And then from there, I just kept on traveling. So I went to Australia and ended up actually staying there because I loved my job. I started working for Matilda Bay, which were like one of the biggest smaller breweries. And they were owned by CUB, which is like the Carlton and the VB owners. But it was brilliant. They didn't actually know they had us, so they let us do whatever we wanted. We were called the garage, and like, it was just do what you want. If we had core beers and then all the seasonals we could think of, and it was just great to have their backing. You could I learned my trade there, as I said. That's where I learned you wore wellies, you worked hard, you know you lugged things around, you did weight training, you got ready for the job, and you learned every bit of it inside and out. Yeah. And then I moved into the bigger brewery just through the company. So I went in then making VB, but like going from 25 hectolitres a day to 1,100 hectolitres every 2 hours, 40 minutes on a double brew house system. So wow. It was night and day, absolute night and day, but still learned so much on both sides of the coin. But after a few years in the big brewery, I said, no, like my passion is small. So I actually came home from my brother's wedding. And I'd noticed, I'd be coming home maybe every two and a half years. I'd noticed the development of the craft beer scene in Ireland was really coming on, because when I left Harriet Watt, O'Hara's were looking for someone, and that was the only job going. Mm. So when I came back from my brother's wedding, I started looking around for a few jobs, and 6 weeks later, I was home brewing up in Drogheda. So yeah, never look back. So I'm 6 years home now. So I spent a few years in Drogheda, and then I moved down to Wicklow Wolf to help them with their new brewery that's down in Newtown on Kennedy. And then for family reasons, my partner, he got moved down to the Galway office, and we'd small family, and we're both from Galway. So then I said, oh, I'll come home to Galway and maybe have to go back into science. And as luck would have it, Fran had acquired the old independent brewery out in Carreau, and he was looking for someone to run it. And I was like, well, isn't this great? And he's a friend of my brother-in-law. So it was all very, well, small way and fortuitous, you know. So I haven't looked back. I've gone all the way around the world to come home brew beer in Galway, which is great.
It's incredible. From my experience, a lot of really, really great craft beer brewers or owners have often had a lot of experience in big breweries. And because the experience is so different with big batch and small batch, you really learn lessons about quality control and consistency. And that, if you can bring that to a small brewery, I think you're mint, you're on your way.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what, as I said, I'm the fun police sometimes, because we had whole quality systems. Technical departments, you know, you had all the legals, you had all the food safety people, and you learned from all of them. You could just take all this information in and you can just then apply it on small scale. And I also, when I came home to Galway, I went back to college to do quality management systems. So I've that done as well. And it does really help a small brewery to apply those big systems, not too complicated or anything, but just a little bit goes a long way. So yeah, as I say, Cormac or brewer, I'm like, I'm the fun police, Cormac. So I'll make you do all the, you know, the swabbing and the and the paperwork. And yeah, his enthusiasm is amazing. So don't want to be squashing that either.
I think it's really fascinating that you've done all of these sort of other like quality control and like learning all these other things. So sort of jumping off of that, I'm just curious, like for the listeners, if you could offer any advice to someone who just wants to start out in the brewing industry, seeing as you know you have such a diverse background.
If you want to get into craft brewing, I would say go and work in a craft brewery. If you want to get into commercial brewing, it's nearly go and do your degree, go and do the science part of it, and then go into the big breweries. But for small breweries, go get your feet wet, go and see what it's all about, because sometimes, as I call it, it's a devotion, not really a career. You know, you have to love it and you have to always want it to be the best and not cut any corners and spend the time there. You know, you have to be, it has to be your number one, you know, for to get it right all the time, you know. So I would say go work in the brewery, and then once you're happy with brewery, start gathering your knowledge, you know, so do your courses part-time. There's really good courses now that are distance learning and things like that. If you can afford it and want to take a year out, I can highly recommend the 12 months in Harriet Watt. It's amazing. But yeah, I would say just go and do it. Just try and get in, you know, even try and get, you know, a summer placement, or, you know, come in as the bottle washer and try and just get yourself aware of all areas of it. You know, I did a little bit of work experience and then a lot of college. And I think it would nearly have been beneficial maybe to do a little bit the other way around, you know, so.
It was interesting to me when I was researching Connemara that you've now chosen to have two beers. So you got two beers and that's sort of it. And your focus is just on quality and consistency with those two beers. Could you tell us about your two beers and why you chose those?
Yeah, so I really wanted us, we are a tiny, tiny like manual brewery down in Connemara, but I wanted us to be able to bring beers that like taste the same every time, have nothing to hide behind, and everyone can drink them. So sessionable was really the top word in when we were sitting down to make our beers. It was sessionable. And to be totally honest, we have a lager in the white can. Is it just bouncing back? I don't know if you can see anything. And then we have an ale in the black can. So I love lager. I've always made lagers. And unfortunately in Ireland, lagers were, you know, a dirty word in craft for a while, just because of our culture. Unfortunately, we were so used to only having going into a pub and there's four beers there and they're straw colored and fizzy and easy to drink, you know, and that's what we thought of lager. So yeah, you want to differentiate when you go into a small brewery and it's completely chalk and cheese, that like, this isn't the same beer that comes from the big house that I am making for you. So suppose you go big, you know, and that's what happened. All small breweries went big. But now I think it's really, we're mature enough now that there's a time for, let's get the Heineken drinkers back to local, you know, let's get everyone drinking the beer from down the road and leave the bigger lads, like there's a time and place, you know, but you know, let's give people the choice to drink local, easy to drink, or you know, the bigger easy to drink. So
and I do think a lot of Irish people would drink more craft, but I'd say the older palates are like my in-laws, my parents, you know, they were brought up on a certain taste.
But if you're given like, sorry, Katie, if you're given a triple IPA, you know, or triple hopped something, and you're not told anything about it, all it does is assault your mouth, you know, if that's not what you've had. So of course people go, oh, what's that? You know, so really.
And then they associate, I think, that with craft beer and they're like, oh, craft beer, so it tastes really strange and different.
Yeah.
But I think it shouldn't be craft. I think it should just be like local beer.
Local. Yes. So yes. Yeah, that's kind of what we say. We are a small brewery, but we're local. We're accessible. You know, our doors are open. We're not going to try and blow your tongue away with what we do. You know, and this is, as I said, this is just for me. I really selfishly made these beers for me. I wanted a lovely lager that I can sip on sounds bad, morning, noon and night, you know, kind of like
nothing bad about that on you. We're all beer. Friends here. Yeah.
You know, like, as I say, I could see myself, a body and soul, drinking this all weekend, happy days. Yeah. You know, so, and it's that kind of, it's really well balanced. It's lovely and malty up the front. It's lovely spicy saz at the back. Mm. It's using one of the oldest traditional recipes we could find with a little bit of tweaks for our system, you know, and it just works. It's just lovely. Said with the ale, let's try and keep it a little bit traditional too. And everyone has just got so used to pale ales and very hoppy ales. It was like, let's go down a more traditional route. So again, it's a very balanced ale. It's well, very balanced. We stayed away from the bitterness, you know, and then we actually used a mix of yeasts in it that was by accident, but worked out really well. So it's citrus and tropical fruits. So it's nearly like you have a start of citrus fruits and then it finishes up like breakfast juice.
Yum.
You know, so yeah. And just kept the bitterness down, just again, so you could sit there and have a few of them in the evening, you know, and kept them at 4.5% as well across the range. Yeah. You know, it was, and then we met Mark McCann, our guy that did the branding for us. And when we sat down and told him what we wanted from the beers, he goes, okay, let's stay away from the busy cans. Let's stay away from the colors. Let's just keep this clear and clean, like you want your beers to be. You know, it's consistent, it's concise, it's good. And he just went black and white. And when we saw the cans, we were like, we can't go away from that. That is brilliant. That is perfect. So I think the branding really suits where we wanted the beer to be as well. They work really well together. Like,
I have to be honest, I'm completely drawn to your branding. Like, I love, when I saw them, so we did the Beer Ladies, the Society/Crack Community event. And when I got the box and I saw your two beers, I was obsessed with the branding because it is so simple and minimalistic that it really stands out. And it looks like it's so clean and clean lines. Very good. And just like you're saying, I think it does really represent the beer really well.
Yeah. And like our tagline is, we're a modern beer from an ancient land. So I think, you know, we've really brought those two things together, you know, with the marketing, like our tradition, like our brewery, you have to, please, once doors open, come and see us. It's manual. It's open fermentation systems. There is very little, you know, we upgraded a lot of the tank farm and the quality control systems. But otherwise, you know, we brought as much science as we could into an old fashioned brew house. So, you know, we're using new and old to just, as I said, just to like try, I would like everyone to think they can enjoy this, like diehard craft beer drinkers or my dad, you know,
But as you say, they also appear to craft beer drinkers, because personally, I would like to be able to have the same beer multiple times in a row. And as like my husband, I don't want to drink a triple hop bomb, like three of them. I'm not interested in that, you know? So having like a nice lager that you can drink outside on a sunny day or enjoy while you're watching, you know, maybe something on TV or playing a game with your friends or on a Zoom call. It's nice to be able to be like, you know what, I'm going to have a couple of these tonight and that's what I'm going to do. And it's not complicated and it's just delicious. And I think that's really wonderful that you've been doing that.
Brilliant. Thank you. That's exactly what, you know, what we're trying to achieve.
I actually, from a slightly different standpoint, I mean, I'm also like a lager girl through and through. And I think that's just a little bit of a South African thing as well. You know, hot weather lagers are the best. And you'll have seen that in Oz, you know. But I really admire the risk that you've taken with bringing out a lager and then an ale, because a lot of people stay away from lagers because they don't think that they're ever going to compete with the big brands. And on the one hand, people love lager. That's why the big brands are big. And people just don't always know that there are a lot of different ways that lager can taste within the bounds of what the style is. And I think it's an amazing risk to have taken. And I think it's really, really cool. Good for you, because lager's great.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Yeah, well, as I said, this was really my personal baby, this one was, you know, the lager. And I said, I would like it to be our flagship, you know, and just for that reason. People think because there's so many lagers, it's the easiest thing to make as well. You know, it's the hardest beer to make consistently. Yeah.
Can't hide anything there.
Hide anything behind a Pilsner or a lager. So those are the cleanest beers. Yes.
So as well, we said we'd challenge ourselves, but produce something that we were we really wanted, you know. So I suppose from my point of view as well, and this might be a bit from being like a woman in the industry, we do like lagers more. It's just our palates are more sensitive. We pick, so we'll probably pick up more on lager than maybe like, not across the board, but a man would. So, you know, it's, you can pick up a lot on a lager, and especially on a craft lager, you know. And yeah. I think, you know, people say, oh, how can you go up against Heineken? But I have to say, silver linings to COVID. People now want, as we said there early, local.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're willing to pay a bit more money for something that they know has been made by hand up the road, and they're supporting jobs doing it,
yeah.
You know, and we're supporting each other doing it. So.
And have you, I know COVID has like shut down the pubs basically, but, and your brewery itself is quite young as well. So when did your brewery start? Did it start before pre-COVID or post or mid-COVID or?
Did our first brew in April.
So, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. We got our brewing license in March and shutdown came in 5 days later.
Oh.
So, and our plan was, you know, we're on the Wild Atlantic Way. We're right in the middle of Connemara. You know, we were going to give people pints to sit out in front. You know, we were for the tourism season and like we can can ourselves in house. So we said, okay, let's just focus on, you know, pubs and kegs for the first while. And then we're doing our first brew gun. Don't think this is going to be 6 weeks, lads. You know, so we just had to sit down and like ring the lads up in Bevcraft and go, when can you get to us? You know, and change tact, you know, completely. Mm-hmm. So, but it's worked out for us. You know, well, we're not as busy as we'd like to be. Nobody is, you yeah. know, but yeah, it was the hardest time to start a brewery. But as I said, I think without what we're all going through, people wouldn't appreciate local products so much. And that's what we have to hang on to, that when we're all back open again, people will be looking for not only beer locally, like everything locally, like let's not go, you know, let's buy as much around us as we can.
Yeah. May it never change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And if you had to look forward to the next 5 years, do you think you'd ever add to the range or do seasonals?
Yes.
Okay.
Poor Al Cormac, like Cormac's brilliant. And he's obviously, he's there every day now seeing that I'm out on maternity leave. Cormac is always chipping away. He has a little pile plant. So we've plans on doing 4 seasonals a year, but that is, we've got a 10 hec brew house. We can the 10 hecs and then they're gone. Yes. You know, so they won't be always available. So yeah, a few things in the pipeline, you know, a few friends that have restaurants and a few artists, you know, from around locally that we'd all like to get together and do collaborative something or other, but definitely. And then I think maybe color will come into the design on those things, just so this, yeah,
that is so cool. May I just throw in, because I enjoy your lager so much, if you ever want to make a dark lager.
Yes. My favorite beer in Australia that I made was a dark lager, so yes. I really want to do something like that over here as well, and it has such the best reaction, you know, when you give it to people and they're like, what, it's not like, it's not Guinness. Like, no, it's little bit like it, but it's completely different beast. Oh, and it's just, and then you give them a bit of chocolate with it, or you know, a blue cheese. So yeah, dark lager is definitely on the cards. It's one of, yeah,
one of my favorite,
hopefully within the next year. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Could you tell me a little bit more? You mentioned that you've got open fermentation, so just from a, you know, from my sort of homebrew side, I'm fascinated by that and how you get your quality and consistency with an open fermentation, because that thing scares me. You know, that word is scary to me.
Me too. With all the breweries I've worked in, most of them I have, you know, been involved in building. So I always went uni tanks. Always. I will always go for a uni tank first. And I inherited the open fermenters. I was worried. I was like, how do I get, like, how do I recrop my yeast? How do I keep my fermentation under control? All this. But it was a lot of trial and error, you know, and especially with the lager, you know, and ale loves an open fermenter, but the lager, we were like, but Cormac had worked on them before and he wasn't frightened. And it was just, let's just get going. And then once we hit the right process, it's doing the exact same thing every time with it. And we upgraded all the cooling systems. So that really helps, you know, and we upgraded the wort transfer cooling system as well. So once we keep all that consistent, they're actually pretty manageable, you know, but cleanliness as well. Cleanliness is the big thing for them. So we bought quite high-tech swabbing machines. So we check every time the insides and all the surfaces of all the fermenters to make sure they're completely cleaned. And then we check, obviously, to make sure all chemicals, and we worked quite closely with WaterTech in Cork. They supply all our chemicals. So we got the best regimes going there for as well. So then I was a lot more confident then once I knew every time we're getting it back to clean, we're starting from fresh. We just need to get the wort in at the same time, be nice to our yeast, and we'll keep going. But it's working, you know, as I said, the ale thrives on it. You know, it's just that the lager, well, we like.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
What we've got out of the lager with it. Just a few different trials of yeasts and things like that to see which one best works in that system.
But very cool. I admire
that. It's actually brilliant. I love them now. Started like, oh, yeah. So I wouldn't, well, we will always keep them, but I think when we move up, we might go to a uni tank or two.
Yeah.
Eric, I just want to ask you, if I remember correctly, you've done International Women's Collaboration Brew Days in the past. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would love to know more about them.
Yeah, so it was really good. I think Australia is probably just a few years ahead of us, you know, where we are with craft at the moment. So when I moved over to Australia in 2006, now there wasn't only six of us, but, you know, there was only six people that could get involved in the International Women's Day. So I saw there online, though, there was like 30 plus this year, which is amazing to see in under 10 years, you know. But what we do is we talk to our suppliers. We'd pick charity every year, which then in the final few years, we donated back to Pink Boots to make sure a girl could go and get qualified and whatever she wants to do. So we put the money back into putting more girls into the industry. It's all for charity. We get together, decide what we want to do. Someone to put up their brewery, and we'd get suppliers to give us the time and the supplies. And normally we put them into big champagne bottles, and we'd brew like a month out before International Women's Day. And on the day we'd have a big party.
Oh, so, you did it that way. Okay. Yeah. I've been involved in it as well. That's so interesting. I've been involved with them as well, in South Africa back there. And also same sort of thing. So you just, you know, what you're really trying to do is honor and celebrate women in brewing. And on International Women's Day every year, a lot of breweries will almost hand their breweries over to whichever women's brewing societies are around. And everybody kind of collaborates on a recipe and all the things. And then whatever money you make from the product, we'd also send back into something like a pink boot. So funding women who want to get into brewing. So it was like a closed loop. We used to do it now the other way around. So we'd brew on Women's Day. And then celebrate sort of 2 months later with another party. There's never a shortage of excuses to get together and drink beer. Yeah. One year I did the recipe and it was a New England IPA and it came out pretty well. I was pretty happy with that one.
I'm happy for us to do it if you want to. Let's go.
Yes, please.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, let's get the ball rolling for next year.
So, yes.
That would be amazing. I think that would just be like.
And I saw that Brew did something for Pink Boots. Is that the only brewery in Ireland that we're aware of that did it this year or?
This year, yes. I know Metal Man has done it in the past and other places, but I think this year it was Brew.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which was amazing. And I love seeing pictures. So that was just incredible. But yes, next year when we can see everyone in person, let's do this.
Connemara Brewing Company. Everyone come to Catterall. We'll brew up. So yeah, we can brew whenever we'll get that going. Let's lock that
in. What's the accommodation like in Carrow? Is there a nice hostel? Or okay, brilliant. We're there.
Yeah. See, I don't know why you care about the accommodation. We're there for the beer.
I'll put a few tents up in the tank.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we're
going to be fine.
I think sort of on that note, I just wanted to ask, just as a woman in the industry, do you feel like there was more pressure or do you feel like you encountered any sexism or maybe more specifically, do you feel like it's perhaps different in Ireland than in some of the other countries where you brewed or not?
No, it's one thing. I think I am from a family of only brothers, so I've always been used to being surrounded by men. And I think that's why I just walked into a man's industry and didn't think about it. But in saying that, yes, it is. There's pros and cons, you know. So because you're a woman, you stand out, you know. So, you know, you get remembered a good bit and, you know, you get to do lots of fun stuff, you know. You can be, you know, paraded around a little bit sometimes. But as well, yeah. I found a lot of the older generations found it kind of difficult to maybe in the beginning, and Australia, it can be quite chauvinistic, you know, and that's where I would have started out in small breweries. They kind of found it a bit difficult to, you know, like, who is this woman coming in trying to do my job kind of thing. But then when I moved into the bigger brewery, it was a great asset because I had a team of like 15 men underneath me that didn't want to give out to a woman. So, you know, it's got pros and cons. Overall, no, it's great, you know, but you really do, when you first put on your wellies and you go in, lads tend to want to jump in to do the job for you. You have to go, I'm perfectly capable of doing this myself, you know. So really for a few weeks, you have to kind of say, just leave me alone. Like, I can do this pump. I can lift this grain. You know, I've done this before. But that's not, like, chivalry is not a bad thing either, you know. But you just, yeah, I think you have to assert yourself early on. Not too much, you know, and then they kind of forget because you're in wellies and overalls every day that you're a girl anyway, you know. So and you just get on with it. So, yeah, like, I think if any woman in a male dominated industry will get a little bit of sexism, but thankfully it's in the way minority, you know, so little that you can ignore it, you know, or, you know, walk away. You know, it's such a nice place to be nowadays that there is quite a few jobs in Ireland and you're not shoehorned into one job and things like that. So, yeah. If you're not happy, you can change.
And I think it was really, really good that you traveled like Scotland and Australia, and then you were still able to use your craft and your trade and to come back home. So many people emigrated, you know, from this small country, and to see people being able to come back home is amazing.
Yeah, it's great. Well, number one, the job's universal. You can seriously, brewing is brewing everywhere in the world. You'll soon learn the the techniques you need in a different language. So yeah, that was great. And then it was so lovely to come home and every year on year seeing the development of the beer industry and where it was, and people were asking questions. And like, you know, when I first came home, it was like, oh, Jace can't drink that stuff that you make, you know. And then when I came home last time, it was like, could you bring some stuff that you make with you? Like, you know, we have a small club here or there, or like,
yeah,
we're well getting there, you know, like, yeah. Okay, we're still only what, 4.7% of the market, but we're not too far behind other countries either, you know. So
no,
it's nice to see. It's great to see.
Have you had much involvement with the home brew club since you've been back?
No, any to be totally honest, no.
Yeah. Fair
yeah.
enough.
Yeah. 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 But I know, but Cormac has. Mm. So, and as I said, we have the pilot in the brewery that he tinkers away on all the time. So, as I said, sometimes I can be the fun police. So Cormac will do all the processes behind it.
Mm. Yeah, no, that works. Gosh. Is there a favorite beer that you have that you don't make? So another one of the craft breweries in Ireland. Do you have a couple of favorites that you enjoy?
People ask me this all the time. And to be totally honest, depends on the day, depends on the weather, depends on what I've ate, depends on how I'm feeling. Mm. But I cannot go past a pint of plain from Porterhouse. It's just, I love it. Or Oyster. Like I'll either have a lager or I'll have a stout. Yeah. It'll be one or the other. And like that mostly are my two go-tos, and it depends on the day. And I know White Hag do a lot of good stouts as well. So anytime I see one of their specials coming up, I'll try and get it. There's so much good stuff going on at the moment, you know. So yeah, as I said, I'm fickle with, because of everything else that goes on in the day. I will look at cans and go, you know, I don't know what I want today. Like if it's a day like today, like in Galway, it's raining. So I'm like, oh, red ale now or something, you know, kind of a bit toasty, warm would be nice today, you know. So yeah, it really, I have no favorite. It depends, because it depends on too many things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I heard you mention oyster stout. Would you consider brewing an oyster stout with Galway Bay oysters or?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, awesome. we're trying to, there's a lot of foragers near us, you know, and so we're trying to get all of them on board as well, to bring in, like, you know, we've gores to beat the band around us, you know, we've got seaweed, we've got, you know, there's so many local things that you could do really interesting for the one batches, because it's carte blanche with the one batches, you can do what you want, you know.
Absolutely.
So yeah, we're going to go, like, as I said, we're safe and sessionable, and, you know, that's our core.
Yeah.
So we can go as wacky and as crazy as we want with our others.
Yes,
just to say, that sounds like one hell of a mix box. Like, I'm really excited to, like, be like, oh yes, like a cup.
You'll,
like,
probably,
you know,
never get them at the same time. That's the only thing. Yeah, unless you hold on to them.
Well, I hoard beer, so that's not a problem for me. that sounds really amazing. Like, I really like the idea of, like, using, like, local ingredients in your beer and making it really representative of where you are.
Yeah, yeah. I think it'd be foolish not to, when you're in one of the most beautiful ancient places in the world, you know. Mm-hmm. You have to involve your surroundings. You know, I'd say something, if we're in an industrial, I'd say it's some place that isn't too pretty. But, you know, we're right on the beach, nearly, like, no.
Oh,
yeah.
So back when the world is the right way up, will there be a tap room? And
yeah.
Oh, yay.
Yeah. Okay. We had it built. It's lovely. We put AstroTurf in. We got barrels. We have the bar built. We're just waiting for people.
So, we're not going for one night. We're going for a week.
Yeah, we're definitely coming. That's absolutely happening when we get released into the wild. Again.
Yeah,
and we have some sea swimmers as well.
Oh,
so those sea swimmers.
Yes. It's so lovely out there. Yeah, and sure, you're so close to everything. You're an hour from Galway, and then you're an hour the other way, and you're right into the hills of Connemara. You know, so it's lovely. We're on the coast, so, and you're right on the Wild Atlantic Way. So it's a lovely, lovely location. Yeah, I feel lucky. Absolutely. Every morning driving out against the traffic, all going into the city, and just all, like, you can see over to the islands and just watching them. the sun come up over Galway Bay. It's quite idealistic.
It's actually really funny because this entire podcast came about because we went to Galway on just a girls trip for the weekend, and we had a couple cans and we were like, you know what we need to do? A podcast.
That's exactly what happened.
See, good ideas in Galway.
So here we are.
Do you have a favorite style of beer that you like to brew?
Yes. So like I will always go lager family, you know, and as we discussed earlier, darks. I think there's massive things that can be done there. And as I said, I used to always love the surprise people got from them. But the only thing is, though, they take time. So they take a lot of tank space, you know. So with an ale, you know, if you've got a good, you know, fast ferv and whatever else, you can know what you've got at the end of it in two weeks, not even. Whereas with the lager, you know, at the end of ferv, you still have a long way to go to what your final product is. So there's a bit of chance there, but I still like it. You know, it's still, it's a challenge, as I said earlier. But yeah, I find it quite interesting, all the families of lagers. So yeah, definitely. I think we should bring up the dark lager.
And would there be a style that you would never go near?
Anything with Brett in it. I don't like Brett.
Sours.
Yeah. As I said, from coming from the big brewery, like I really really, really delicate on my cleaning techniques and things like that. And I would just be afraid that, like, it's not that I don't trust my cleaning techniques, it's just that I don't trust Brett.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't like it to introduce it to the brewery, you know, so.
Especially with the open fermenters.
And we've got, like, you know, we've got wooden clad brew house and things like that. And they're very good at getting stuck in places like that.
Yeah, live there. I think that's a commitment you make. Like, if you're a brewer and you're going to do mixed fermentation, or you're going to do sours, or you're going to use Brett or lacto in any kind of way, you kind of have to commit to that because it is going to cross-contaminate, and it'll add character if that's your kind of brewery, and that's great, but you know, you almost have to distinguish then.
Do decide. And a lot of people say to me, would you not trust your CIP systems and your cleaning and place systems? And I said, I trust them completely. Like, I trust them and test them every time. But it's just something, it's that, you know, like, brewing is like science meets nature meets the mix of the art of putting it all together. It's just that little bit too unknown in the nature part for Brett or some, or things like that, as you said, like all the other things you can introduce. It's just a bit too, it's a bit too uncontrollable for me, which is some other brewer's nightmare. They want it all uncontrollable and whatever else, but it's just the way I am.
It reminds me of like Kindergars having their like dedicated sort of like sour, like firm farm, as they say. Like kind of having a dedicated space is
And it's brilliant, and then you'll make the best ones because, you know, you need inoculations from three brews ago to, you know, you need that kind of, you know, I can't control this completely to make the best ones. For the moment at us, and especially when our beers are really sessionable, you know, and as I said, there's very little to hide behind, that, you know, we have to be completely CIP nuts, you know, so
absolutely. And I have to say personally, like, I underestimated lagers until I went to Prague a couple years ago, and then I just fell in love with especially dark lagers, like but just fell in love. And I think I definitely see a higher demand from, especially from the craft beer community, for more and more lagers lately. Maybe that's trend of 2021, or probably going back 2020 and 2019. And then it's just kind of sort of continuing to pick up steam. But I definitely see that call for those sort of sessionable.
Yeah, definitely a culture change across small beer drinkers or local beer drinkers, whatever we want to call them, you know. But as I said that as well, I don't think, like, our culture didn't do much for lagers. And, you know, as I said, I can't, you know, poo-poo big breweries because I worked many years in them. And so, you know, the good and the bad, and that's that kind of brewing as well. But they didn't do favors for lager. But I think people now are traveling and way more educated about beer and can see that, oh, hang on, that's only one small little bit of lager. These are a family. You know, there's so many more things that I can experience. So, and people are starting to do that. So as you said, the demand is starting to come up. So, but as well, small brewers, used to be more afraid of lagers as well, you know, because if it goes wrong like that, it's a month
yep.
for a batch, you know, to do it properly. So it's a risk as well, you know.
Absolutely. You can't, like we said, you just cannot hide those sort of like off flavors that you can hide in an ale, and it's kind of like, oh, maybe that's in it a little bit, but maybe not really. And yeah. okay, you know, it's not too bad here. Whereas a lager, you just cannot hide yeah. those things no. in. And you could really, for better or for worse, judge a brewery or how technically good a brewer is on their lager. For lack of a better, it's an oversimplification, but really that is a very difficult style to brew. And often sort of like as in my beer ladies capacity, when people come in and they want to start homebrewing, you know, there is a sort of like, oh, you know, we start with a lager because if they've never brewed before, because it's easy to drink. Well, no, just because it's easy to drink doesn't mean it's easy to brew.
No, first exactly. brew, they always forget about sterility and temperature control. Yeah. As well. Yeah. So it always goes, yeah.
I mean, I've specifically never brewed a lager because I've never had the temperature control needed to do it. And I don't want to waste my time or my money on a beer that is not going to come out right.
Yeah, that and being like said, that, it's double the time you need for other ones.
So that by the time you realize that you've already invested all this time, and it's incredibly frustrating if it doesn't turn out well. Yeah, it's I mean, they're fussy. They're very fussy beers, but my God, when you nail it.
Yeah.
Although I tell you what, I am now going to, I'm planning a California Common, so steam beer, because lovely. At least it's lagery with an ale temperature sort of fermentation. So that's what I'm hoping I'm going to be, is my next brew, I think.
Lovely.
Yeah.
I'll be right over.
I think that will be in time for Cans in the Park or Bottles in the Park.
Yeah, it'll have to be bottles.
Just start a festival, Cans in the Park.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely be having some Connemara cans in the park. So.
Yes, for sure. Yes. I will make sure of that.
It's perfect, perfect canned in the park beer, actually.
I really miss beer festivals. Like, if nothing else comes back, can we please just have beer festivals back? Yeah. Please.
Yeah. Or I mean, the food
even outside.
Festivals. Yeah. The big grill used to be great. I loved it.
Oh, yeah. I miss socializing with other humans. Leaving my house. I get excited to go to the grocery store now. I know.
And not having to meet people on a computer screen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. It's kind of weird that we're getting used to it, isn't it? It's like...
Although, I mean, we'd never be able to do things like have a podcast with you over in Connemara. You know, we'd never have even thought about doing that if it weren't for the fact that we can at least do it this way.
Yeah, so, and I think people, I know, you know, when you had to do this a few years ago, you'd be like, oh, so people are like way more, you know, more natural in these environments now. So you can get, you know, a better interview out of people over screens now that I suppose you didn't have before COVID. So I say we have to find the silver linings.
No, I completely agree with both of you. I think actually I've attended so many more events that I wouldn't have been able to attend before simply because I can just click a button on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all of the hellscape that has been the last year, I think getting in touch and bonding with people through internet or social media, I mean, like Tandy and I really became friends through COVID, because of COVID. And Katie I knew before, but we really became much better friends through COVID. I mean, much better friends, and we started this podcast. And, you know, so I kind of try to keep reminding myself of the wonderful things that I've experienced, because never-ending lockdown gets hard.
Tedious.
Especially when the rest of the world isn't in lockdown. It feels like, sometimes it just feels like it's just us. I know it isn't, but it just does feel that way.
I'm still on WhatsApp groups with, like, you know, all my Australian girlfriends. And they're like, where are we going for lunch this weekend? I'm like, mute.
I work for an Australian company, and they're doing team building and going out for dinners, and I'm like, I haven't left my bedroom in I don't know how long.
And they're sending pictures of all their children together. I'm like, my children doesn't know anyone else exists.
That must be so tough.
It's in the world, you know, she thinks it's just four people.
No, I completely relate. Like, of course the US handled this like an absolute dumpster fire for the majority of it, but my parents are still in the States, and they've both been vaccinated. My family's all vaccinated now, which is wonderful. And they're able to like go out and kind of live semi-normal lives. Like, they're still, you know, you could still spread it, so they're still a little bit paranoid, but it's wonderful to see that. But I'm like, when are we getting our vaccine? Give me all of them.
At least though, it's definitely the beginning of the end of it. Absolutely. You know, it yeah. might be a little bit slower than we thought, but at least we can see the end, you know.
Absolutely. And that is very heartening to kind yeah. of see the end of the tunnel. So I'm ready.
Yeah. Yeah. Get drinking and socializing again.
So. I'm so ready. I can't wait. We're going to have to make our way over to Connemara, get the Wild Atlantic Way and touch all the breweries over there. And we're definitely coming to spend some time with you, Anya.
Yeah. And absolutely. Mark, that works in the brewery as well, his dad owns the pub. So, you know,
we'll
be fine. Yeah, you know what, Katie, you said a week. I mean, I feel like that's probably fairly reasonable.
So. Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Campervan. Just come down to Campervan.
So on that note, do we want to wrap up, friends?
Do you want to plug where you can get your beer and your brewery on you if you have a website and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Connemara Brewing.com. And we've just opened our own online shop. Ooh. So anything you want, you can just go up and we'll have it over to you within 3 to 5 working business days. And we're also with Beer Club and Beer Cloud.
Awesome.
ConnemaraBrewery.com.
And I believe you're on Twitter as well.
All the social medias.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But fantastic. Say hi to Cormac when we're doing that, will we? Yeah.
And Mark.
And Fran.
That's amazing. Look, I think it's really, really cool that through COVID you've managed to start your brewery and grow and upgrade and sell locally and sell nationally. I mean, I think it's massive achievements and big, big, big kudos to you.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to see more of what you come out with. I'm really excited for your sort of small batch brews. And like I said, I will be buying way more of your lager and your ale. Your ale is gorgeous. It's really nice.
It's lovely. It's fruity. Mm-hmm. But let's lock in. Let's do the Women of Beer at Connemara Brewery.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's a date next year.
Yay! Yeah, well, we have to make dates next year just to be safe. So yeah. We can't make them before that.
That does feel like the reasonable time frame.
Oh, yeah. Okay, friends. Well, we are wrapping up today. And I just want to remind everyone who's listening to check us out on YouTube, follow us on social media, and you can listen to whatever you want.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.